It's 93.1 The Buzz, Everything That Rocks, Kevin Walker, and finally, live music coming back, starting slowly. June 3rd, Adler Theater, the Nielsen Trust. I've got Miles Nielsen on the phone. Dude, what is it like to finally get back on the road and get to the point where you're going to go play some live music?
Well, I would say it's definitely comforting to know that I actually have a job, you know?
Yeah.
That was sort of the hardest part about the whole deal is, you know, you start second guessing, like, is there going to be an industry when this, and then, you know, for the first 4 to 6 months, you know, you're like, man, what is my life? What did I do? What did I spend my whole life doing? And now, you know, after I sort of hit a point where people are like, oh, when it comes back, it's going to be great. You know, people are so excited. And now I'm just like, okay, we're actually going on the road. Because the last time we made t-shirts with the tour dates on the back, the whole tour got canceled.
Those are collector's items now.
Those are collector's items now, absolutely. And so for us, you know, it's just like, it's just reassuring to know that we actually have something to go out and do in front of people. You know,
yeah.
We spent the last year, you know, looking, staring into the lens of an iPhone, you know, doing virtual stuff and Zooms and all sorts of different things. So we're just excited to be back at it, you know, it's just, can't wait to get on a stage again. We found ourselves streaming a lot of shows, and actually it was like such a blessing to be able to, you know, for technology to be able to let us do that. It was kind of amazing. So we were just stir crazy, but also fortunate that we could actually, you know, connect with people.
So tell me about the Nielsen Trust. How does this come? I mean, obviously there's a family component. So some bands are like, oh, we played together in another band, or we knew each other in college. Tell me about how the band comes together and how you got to where you're at now.
My mom's idea was, you know, when Cheap Trick's not playing, you guys should think about doing a family band. And I'm like, yeah, when we're not touring and when Cheap Trick's not touring, when is that exactly? Because I feel like that's all we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Cheap Trick had a little bit of downtime, and we decided that we would actually try to do this. It's my mom's fault that we have a band together. And you know what's funny about it? I think we've played about 4 or 5 shows, and she's not seen one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
She's been gone out of town for every one of them. So, you know, hopefully she gets a chance to actually see the band on tour when we're touring.
She just wanted to get you guys out of the house.
Yeah, I think she was like, your dad needs to get out there. Get out of the house. Go do something, please.
Well, and every time I see your dad interviewed, or any time, I mean, and again, I've been in rock radio for 25 years since college, and, you know, you meet Cheap Trick, you meet REO, you meet Styx, these Midwest bands, they're like the coolest guys ever. They're just, they get it. They always have. And it's like, other times you'll meet, you know, I've worked at other, you know, country or pop stations, and you meet the newest sensation, and they're gone in 6 weeks, or 8 weeks,
yeah,
or 8 months. What is it like playing in a band where you've got somebody in the band who's rock royalty, but seems to be the most down-to-earth, quirky kind of guy, and is just rolling with the punches? What's that like?
Well, it's hard to give an accurate description of maybe what that's like, because he's also my dad, so I never really look at him like rock royalty. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
When I'm with other people, they're like, your dad's like a rock and roll Hall of Famer, he's this, he's that. I'm like, yeah, but he's also my dad, you know? It's like, I look at it so differently. So the lens that I see it through is, I'm proud of him. I'm a fan of Cheap Trick tunes. So, you know, I'm
yeah.
a fan.
Yep.
I grew up on this stuff. So it's I guess one of those situations where I just say, I appreciate the influence that they've had on so many people. And I appreciate the dedication to the craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dedication to being a road warrior. I mean, those guys still play 130 shows a year when they can.
And for him, is it an outlet that's different than Cheap Trick? For him, is it more playing with the kids and its family? Or is it a unique outlet for him doing something that's not Cheap Trick?
I think for him, it's an outlet of doing something that's not Cheap Trick. I also feel like it's something like we're a little bit more interactive with the crowd. I mean, we're playing smaller rooms than Cheap Trick would. So he's been really into the idea of sort of like a storyteller's almost, you know, where he's like, you know, questions and answers, and I'm learning things about Cheap Trick songs and about the band Cheap Trick and about his life via people asking questions, you know, like, I remember Cheap Trick touring on the East Coast in 1976, you know, and blah, you know, it's like, and he's like, oh yeah, that was such and such a club where we played with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They opened up for us. And I'm just like, okay, I've never heard that story before.
Well, I bet there's a million stories like that.
There's a million
stories. Yeah. I'm 52, so I, like, really was not... I mean, I remember, like, Live at Budokan, and I remember hearing, you know, songs on the radio forever. It wasn't until Dream Police and She's Tight and stuff like that that I was like, wait a minute, this is really cool. What is... And I'm not musically inclined. My brother is the guy in the family that has all the talent. I was the guy that always wanted to be on the radio and play those songs. I had, like, five vinyl albums before my parents bought a CD player, and it was, like, Pyromania and Standing Hampton from Sammy Hagar, but... There were a couple Cheap Trick albums in there because I was like, this is so cool. And it's weird. Then later you're like, wait a minute. Some of the other stuff, I mean, the Budokan stuff obviously put them on the map and in a situation where they become super famous. But to me, and I love that stuff, but some of the other stuff later to me is like, those are my jams. You know, I want you to want me. I love it. And it's great. But it's one of those things where if I really could say, hey, I can take two Cheap Trick songs with me and have it forever, it might be something a little bit deeper, like Dream Police or She's Tight. Still, to me, it's one of the coolest songs I've ever heard.
I agree with you. I'm such a fan of, like, a song like Heaven Tonight.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Next Position, Please. And there's a Invaders of the Heart is one of the songs on there that I'm just, like, a super fan of. You know, it's there's so many deep cuts that I'm just like, oh, man, there's so many great tunes. That the fun thing is we're going back into that catalog now. And,
yep.
Starting to pick from that, and those are some of the songs that we're playing, so it's really fun.
Well, even when you're doing some of those songs, as I'm looking at Facebook and seeing some videos from live shows, I see you do some Cheap Trick material, but you do it in a different way. It's unique, and that, I think that's probably refreshing, not only to play it, but for the crowd to hear it.
Yeah, well, we've definitely got some comments from people that, like, you know, we haven't heard that song since 1980, or, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, we thought that might be the case, and we're pretty into the idea of just, you know, playing some B-sides, having some fun.
What kind of, I mean, other than obviously Dad's band, I mean, kind of hard not to be influenced by Cheap Trick, bands, what other influences growing up did you have, or musician-wise, that kind of influenced you?
Definitely a band by the name of Driving and Crying.
Are you kidding me? Fly Me Courageous is one of my favorite songs of all time.
You know what's great about it is I'm playing golf with the lead singer of Driving and Crying right now.
That to this day is still one of my favorite songs. So cool.
Yeah, I agree. So a band like that, a band like Jellyfish, which is kind of a band that not a lot of people know about. You know, they were supposed to be huge, and I think Epic or RCA, I think it was Epic Records, put $4 million into Spilt Milk, and the record came out and was considered a flop, you know. But they put out two albums that I just absolutely love. You know, I can go into super long detail about, like, classical music. I'm a super Haydn fan. I love the composer Haydn, but that doesn't influence my rock and roll music. But
well, and how does the Rusted Hearts, is that just another outlet for you, a different style, or are they similar? I mean, you're basically playing in two bands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that the style of the Rusted Hearts is anywhere near Cheap Trick. It's like a klezmer band or something.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, we go from, like, you know, accordions and clarinets to, you know, slide guitars and organs. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to call it. I'm not really sure. People ask me that all the time. It's like, well, what do you guys sound like? I'm like, well... 14 different things. That's the truth. It's like, well, we sound like a lot of different things. I'm not really sure which one of them to pull from, but that's our influence are all over the place with the Rusted Hearts, and I kind of like it that way.
If someone is like, oh, I love Cheap Trick, and Nielsen Trust, these guys got to be talented. I'm going to go check it out. A, I want to see some live music, and B, I want to see what they're about. When they come to watch you guys, what are they going to see? What are they going to hear?
Well, hopefully a couple good rock bands. That's first and foremost, you know what I mean? They're also going to hear some good classic rock songs. They're going to hear some songs they're probably unfamiliar with that are probably my songs, and my wife Kelly's in the band, probably, you know, a pretty wide array. But ultimately, I think what the biggest thing will be is a couple of good rock bands. That's sort of our focus for this tour. If you're a fan of, of good songs, I think coming out to see these bands is going to be something that is going to stand out. Musicianship is good, you know, at a high level. My dad, I call him the Rodney Dangerfield of rock and roll because he's he's bound to say something offensive or over the line. But, you know, I feel like, you know, he let me see Caddyshack when I was way too young and Fast Times at Ridgemont High when I was way too young, but it all made sense when I started to realize his personality. I was like, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. That's sort of a direct fabric of his character.
All right, so. The show is June 3rd. Tickets still available. Ticketmaster, let's grab them at the Adler box office. I also have a ton more to give away. If you want to win yours, keep listening. We'll give more away after Memorial Day weekend. Miles Nielsen, thank you for joining me, man. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the show. Definitely looking forward to it. Thank you.